Who's that coming down the street? Who's that coming to meet me? Is that two hexy mamas?
Yeah, that was
Shut good. Up, that was so good.
So it doesn't bother me.
You didn't see that
documentary?
I think it was a documentary about, like, these people that have gotten abducted.
By aliens. Or
and
by people.
I mean, I feel like it was a pretty large group of people, and they would recount their stories, and they would say, like, there's good aliens, and then there's bad aliens.
Well, there's good people and bad people, so why wouldn't
well,
that
yes,
make sense to
but
me,
I'm
yeah.
just saying, like, you know, the good aliens would do this, and the good aliens look like this, and the bad ones, they did this, and they anally probed me, and they tried to, like, do
but
surgery on me.
But there are human beings
and,
that do that.
I'm not,
so that's why it doesn't scare me, I think.
I'm not dismissing that.
No, I know. I think the reason why it doesn't scare me, though, is because aliens don't scare me because I'm like, there are people that do just, if not way worse shit than an alien. I'm like, the aliens are just going to stick shit up your butt. Like, I don't understand why that's a big deal. Like, I just don't. And I'm like, they just want to know who we are. Like, imagine if we got a hold of someone posted this the other day on Reddit. We're all scared of what aliens do when they abduct us, but if we found an alien, we would do way worse to it.
That is so... Well, I wouldn't.
Well, I know you personally wouldn't.
But that's
but,
true.
Like, think about it. If we found... Which, I mean, arguably, some people think we have found aliens. But think about it. If an alien tomorrow came crashing down and landed in anywhere, they would take that son of a bitch to a facility, and they would cut it open.
That's true.
They would do whatever.
Haven't they already done that? Or was that like a hoax thing?
Aliens?
Like,
it's one of those things.
They thought they had an alien, they cut it up, but I think
a lot
it was a hoax.
No, well, it's one of those things that's like, it came out, and then all of a sudden, it like, the information went away, so it was like, did the government get rid of, like, the information?
Oh.
I believe we have found aliens, because Area 51, I believe there are aliens there.
So do you believe crop circles are man-made, or do you think aliens are making them?
Aliens, but I don't see why, like, the same thing as why things in the ocean, like, I'm not, like, when people are like, oh my god, there's a giant squid that exists, I'm like, of course there's a giant squid that exists. Like, that makes perfect sense to me. It's a whole ocean. How the hell are we expected to know what's in it?
Right.
Like, it's just too big for us to go. Like, I'm convinced that dinosaurs, some dinosaurs still exist. I'm like, there's no way we know what the whole world... Yeah. But I'm serious.
Yeah,
it's like, we have no way of knowing. Like, we can't go that deep. We can't go that far. We've got places of the Earth we haven't even looked at. Who's to say that shit doesn't exist? We can't go through all the space.
Well, I think the... So, that
I'm
documentary... I was gonna say, you don't look like you're getting very comfortable.
Okay, there I am now.
I think the documentary... That documentary that I watched...
It's a documentary.
Documentary.
Yeah.
I said that.
No, you said documentary.
Are you judging the way I say
yes,
things?
Yes, I am. Go on.
Okay, Brett Michaels, with your curly hair and your head.
I know. I was like, what? Did you see my face? I was like, Brett Michaels corrects the way people says things.
No.
Say things.
With your headband and your curly hair.
I went to sleep with wet hair. Leave me alone.
The documentary. And so it was that, and then that movie with Tom Cruise in it. What was it called?
Tom Cruise.
Like, the world is ending.
Oh, and like, War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Which is based off... Do you know what that's based off of?
I feel like I do, but I don't remember.
So, forever ago, and I'm sure people will correct me because I don't know the exact information, there was a person, and I think it was H.G. Wells or Orson Welles. It might not be any of those people. But anyway, someone went... Like, basically, they were like, let's make an entertainment thing where, like... People were sitting down, it was back in the day where there were no TVs, and, like, all the entertainment they got were through, like, radio shows.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of times where they would basically do scripted television, but on the radio. So it'd be two people just talk, basically a podcast, but it would be scripted. But they got on there, and this guy was, like, so it was a story, but they formatted it like a news story. So it was like, oh, my God, do you see that? It's like... Right now in New York City, this is happening.
Can you imagine, though, like, tuning into that, not knowing what the fuck
But that's the point. That's what happened. They did that, and people didn't know what it was. So people thought it was real. So it caused, like, massive chaos because people thought it was a real news broadcast. And, like, people started freaking out thinking aliens had, like, landed. Mm-hmm. And it was this whole thing. And I think it was right around the time that, like, space, like, event, like, space, like, research and, like, putting the man on the moon, like, that kind of stuff was getting... very real. Like, I don't know, like, I can't remember exactly the time, but I don't think they had put anybody on the moon yet or in space yet, But I think it was becoming, like, a more thing that, like, they're like, we could do this. Mm-hmm. So, like, it got really scary to them. And it was, and so they thought it was real. And then, like, they didn't say it wasn't real till, like, the very end. So people, and it was, like, an hour-long thing. And so people were, like, freaking out. So then they made a movie about if that had actually happened, which is the Tom Cruise movie. I probably got some of that information wrong,
that's
but yeah.
That's still scary, though. But that movie scared me so bad.
Did it?
I had nightmares for weeks.
Signs scared me when I was a little kid, and can I tell you why?
Why?
It's my father's fault. We were watching Signs, and in my house in Florida, basically, the house we lived in had a patio.
Okay.
But they enclosed it in glass.
Like a sunroom.
Basically. So it was a sunroom, but we called it Florida room. It was called a Florida room, yeah. So we had a Florida room. So we were sitting, that's where our, like, TV was. That was, like, our living room. So we were sitting in there having, like, a family movie night, and we were watching Signs.
Oh, with all the glass.
We're sitting there with all the glass, and my dad's like, well, I gotta get up and go to the bathroom.
Of course.
There was a real patio. Like, once they had closed in the Florida room, they had made another patio on the side. So there was, so if you went through the garage, you could get onto the patio. So he had gone out of the patio and gone into our backyard. Without us knowing. And all of a sudden we're, and so it's all glass. So you're watching TV and you could see the reflection of, like, the glass behind you. We saw something move. And it turned, and my dad's walking through the backyard like an alien in the complete dark. And I lost my ever loving mind.
How old were you?
I mean, I had to be like.
I feel like Signs came out when we were like 10. 11,
I was gonna say, 12. When, hold on, let me ask Sarah. When did the movie Signs come out? 2002, so by the time I got it on,
so 12, yeah.
On VHS, I was like probably 12, 13. Uh-huh. So it must have been right before we moved here, because I moved here when I was 13, so I had to be 12.
Yep.
Dude, I was scared shitless.
I don't know if it scared me so much.
It didn't scare me till that moment.
Yeah. My dad used to do shit like that. I remember when I was younger, we lived in trailers. This sounds ridiculous, but they were glorified.
Yeah.
I mean, glorified trailers. So my mom, dad, and brothers stayed in one trailer, and because they didn't want me to share a room with my brothers, because it's only two rooms, I lived with my grandmother, and we all shared this huge plot of land, and my grandmother's and my great-grandmother's trailer were connected, so it was
just a giant
thing. So I stayed in their house, because they had two
extra rooms,
and weren't being used. So, but usually I would stay all day at my dad's house until it was time to go to bed, and then I'd go to my grandmother's house.
Yeah.
And I think one time I had, like, a chore, I had to take the trash out or something.
Yeah.
And so I left my house, took the trash out, and it's dark, and I'm little. And off to the side, there's, like, a big wooded area. Like, when you drive up, it's just all wooded areas. And I remember coming back to my house, where my dad and mom and brothers were. And he had come out. I think he had, like, a mask on or some
shit.
He had come out of the wooded area and, like, tried to grab me. And I was so little, like, that fear, you're just, you freeze.
You stop, yeah.
You just stop and freeze.
I think we would, I would still do that, probably.
Oh, my God. I was, why would you do that to a little kid?
My dad used to do stuff like that, but we, like, I grew up with that. Like, my dad had me watching horror movies when I was, like, 5.
I remember sneaking down the stairs to watch Chucky and Chucky's Bride.
What's funny is everybody
regretting it immediately.
Oh, yeah. Everybody talks about how they would sneak down and watch scary movies, but, like, I never had to sneak down to watch a scary movie because my dad would just let me watch them. I had to sneak down to watch a movie called Birdcage, which, have you ever seen that movie?
Is that with Robert
Nathan
Williams?
Lane and Robert Williams?
Yeah.
And it's about them being a gay couple?
I don't think I've seen all of it. I've seen bits and
pieces. You have to watch it. You would love it.
Okay.
It's hands down one of my, like, top 5 favorite movies in the entire universe. But anyway, well, I remember we were staying in a house in Georgia for, like, vacation, like a cabin in the middle of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we were up at, my brother and I were up in the loft, and they were watching the movie. Because, I mean, it was not because of the gay couple that we didn't watch
Robin
it.
Williams.
It was because there was, like, cursing and there was, like, there was a lot of sexual innuendos and stuff like that. But, like, my brother and I were sitting, and I think they had not watched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always the rule, was if we wanted if we wanted to watch something that wasn't a kid's movie, they had to watch it first.
That's a rule that we have for our girls.
So I think that's probably, like, I think had we not snuck it, they would have let us watch it anyway. It's just that we felt the need to sneak it. So we were up in the loft, like, watching it, and there's a part, Hank Azaria's in it, and he's fucking hilarious.
I don't know who that is.
You do. Do you remember Night at the Museum? He's in Night at the Museum. Oh, wait, is he in? Yes, he plays the. No. I know he's in Night at the Museum, but for
is
the life
of
me.
Is he one of the old dudes?
No. Hank Azaria's, like, a very, like, you know who he is. Anyway, we were watching, and there's a part that he has a part that, like, you can't help but, like, laugh out loud. And we were laughing, and my mom looked up, and we were all just sitting, and she was like, fine, just come downstairs and watch the movie. And we were like, okay.
That's funny.
And now it's hands down one of my favorite movies. You know who he is. He's Hispanic, and he talks with, like, a lisp, kind of. He's a very good actor, but anyway, he has shit, like, you have to watch, I'll let you borrow it, because it's the best movie in the world. But anyway.
I think I've only seen, like, bits and pieces.
It's so fucking funny. Dylan and I talk about it. Like, I made Dylan watch it when we first started dating, because it was one of those, this is my favorite movie, if you don't like it, like, there's an issue. And he's like, this is so good. Like, it was, now he loves it.
That's good.
Anyway. This is our podcast that is not about a movie about Robin Williams and Nathan Lane, who are arguably two of the best actors I've ever...
I love Robin Williams.
Dude.
I miss him.
Oh, I watched something with him the other day, and I was like, I'm just sad you don't exist in the world anymore. Like, it's such a sad thing. Like, yeah. I forget sometimes that certain people are dead.
Yeah.
Or, like, so I'll, like, be, something will be like, Prince did this, and it's, like, something he did when he was alive, and I'm like, oh, that's cool, and I'm like, oh, wait.
He's
that's
dead.
Clearly something that happened before he died.
Right.
Like, did you know, I found out, I was listening to another podcast, and someone said that, like, when he died, I guess, like, when people anonymously donate to stuff, it stops being anonymous when they're dead. Because I guess because they have to contact them and be like, now we have to arrange how we do, like, post-mortem paying, like, for things.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, like, when Prince died, they found out that he was, like, donating a ridiculous amount of money to all of these, like, kids and music and, like, all these, like, amazing charities.
So do you think he was... Because I thought it was... I didn't think he did it by overdose on purpose.
Oh, I don't. But then again, there are people that are just the happiest-seeming people in the world. And just... I mean, Robin Williams, obviously.
I mean, the people that you think are the most happy are usually the most depressed.
One of my... This is sad. And one of my... I've had a lot of friends that have passed away. But one of the very few who passed away due to suicide. Hands down, the happiest person I've ever met in my entire life. Like... All of the friends that I have that have passed away, like, were just normal people who had depression or sad or happy and, like, had normal lives. This guy was one of those guys that was, like, always happy,
mm-hmm.
always making people laugh, was, like, this big jokester, and, like, he was the one that committed suicide. And it was, like, the most, like, jarring thing, because it was, like, in my lifetime, if you had handed me a list of people, like, never would I have had him on that list.
Yeah.
And he was one of my very few friends who have committed suicide and, like, didn't die from other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, that is such a, like, weird, but you're right, happiest people, like.
Yeah. I feel like it's, like, a little, it's a show.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's their way of keeping themselves happy is to
make others happy.
Other people happy. Because, like I said, he was like Jacob and Dylan, where he was like, I'm always going to make you laugh and I'm going to make you happy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So. But anyway. Welcome to our podcast, which is not about any of these things we're talking about.
Everybody likes a bit of banter.
I feel like Dylan needs to put... I feel like we banter in the wrong order. I feel like what Dylan was trying to say to us was that we need to introduce the podcast and then banter. Because now I'm like, Dylan, you should put the introduction and then the banter.
Well, now he can cut it.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. Like, did we randomly start talking about aliens out of nowhere?
I feel like we randomly talk about a lot of stuff.
Well, it's because Dylan handed me my podcast information papers, and he thought we were doing a Men in Black episode.
Which I am just, you know, not ready to do.
Here's what I'll ask. Do you people think we should do a Men in Black episode?
How dare you?
Well, if they say yes, you can say no.
I can say no, and I will say no.
I'll do it by myself.
I'll do it.
I've had this Men in Black episode ready for, like, 6 months.
I'll do it. I feel like the Men in Black, though, aren't necessarily about aliens. Maybe
what do you mean?
Like, maybe it's about just men who think they're chasing aliens.
No, it's like a secret organization.
Nope, I'm right, you're wrong.
I was like, no, literally, have you not seen the movie?
I'm right,
like,
you're wrong.
We are Two Hexy Mamas. We are Two Hexy Mamas, and this is a weekly podcast about scary things.
Spooky things.
Murder and ghosts and mayhem.
Loch Ness Monsters.
We've never done the Loch Ness Monster, though.
I don't think that it's
real. Did you know that they... Girl.
I don't.
I have so many issues with what you just said. But
why?
Anyway.
Where have
Were you
ever
not
seen?
Listening to my thing about we don't know what's in the ocean, so why do you think that there's not a Loch Ness Monster?
It's a lake.
It's a, but still, they found a Loch Ness Monster-esque thing near Orlando.
What do you mean?
Recently, like in the last month.
Mm-hmm. A big thing or a little thing?
Like a thing, mutated, I don't know. It's like a, like took fish. A picture, like took a picture, like one of those like we took a picture and it looks like the Loch Ness Monster. Now I have to Google
like,
that.
You believe in Bigfoot?
100,000%.
You know, have you seen those purple mattress commercials? Oh my God.
Dylan loves those
the
commercials.
The mother is me, 100%.
He loves those commercials. Let's see, Loch Ness.
And I feel like that kid is
Monster.
Killian. A glorified Killian.
Or, can I tell you what a mother I am? I typed in Loch Ness Monster and a Scooby-Doo episode came up. No, I don't want the picture of the one made out of Legos.
Stop. I want to see.
Then maybe I was wrong, and maybe I misheard the news. Well, okay, look at this.
Karina admitting that she was
terrifying
wrong.
Loch Ness Monster found in Orlando.
Karina Marie.
Did you see that when you were in Downtown Disney?
I don't know if we did or not. I was on steroids.
Oh, that's right, you were. It's called Disney Springs.
I got strep. We went on my daughter's Make-A-Wish trip to Disney, and it was supposed to be the most magical time.
Well, it was. You were just
of
sick.
Of everyone's lives. And I had strep, and I felt awful.
And then the hurricane happened.
And then I went to the hospital, and they gave me, like, these awful steroids, which made me feel a million times better.
Well, yeah.
Like, sick-wise, but I was such a bitch. Like, I have never been...
You had roid rage.
I have never been more of a bitch, ever. So now when I get strep, I request to not have the steroids.
I remember that they did the same thing to me.
Yeah, I just do, like, a one
you
dose
have a
at
roid
the hospital.
Rage.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my kid had steroids, too, when she was
I was like, you roid rage.
So I know what it is. And then there was a fucking hurricane that mm-hmm. Disney actually shut down for. Like,
which never
happens. And so I feel like my kids got cheated. They were cheated because I was being...
They don't know.
I was being an asshole.
You ask them about the trip, they don't mention any of that.
That's very
they
true.
Have no clue.
That's very true.
Kids are so funny. They can put like these like goggles on where they're like, I only remember the most amazing things because I've asked them about it, and they don't remember the hurricane at all.
That's true.
They just think it rained.
Yeah.
They're just like, it rained and we left and we came back. Like, yeah. They don't care.
We're going again next year because I feel like I have to make it up to them.
They don't care.
I still feel bad. And because I want
to
go.
I was going to say, I was like, tell the real reason is that you would like to go
I
want to
go. I love Disney. It's so fun.
I think we're going again when Killian turns 5. So in 2.5 years.
That'd be so fun. Oh my goodness.
Because he loved it at 2 and
that
1.
Was
like
JC's age when we went. When she went the first time. She was
people
5.
Were like, don't take your 1 or 2 year old to Disney. Like, they're like, they'll just not enjoy it. And I'm like, I'm sorry. That was the most magical thing in the world. I've been to Disney at least 1,000 times.
I think she was what? She was 4 when we went.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. As soon as we walked in and she just looked around, tears down my face.
Literally, Killian was, I think it was cool too, because like, he was so little that his reactions were just so genuine, because it was like, he wasn't old enough to know like, oh, I should be happy because I'm seeing this. It was like, his genuine like, kid reaction to everything, and I was just like.
I feel like that lasts though, until they're about like,
probably,
9 and
yeah.
10.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And then they're like,
Delilah's already starting to do that, like, she's like.
Well, with some things, I think it's just general interest, but she loves Disney.
She does.
We ask her all the time, or she'll, like, JC will ask if something is real or if it's a robot. And we don't tell them. We say, what do you think? And they'll either say, like, it's a real or it's a robot. And so she...
I never even, like, I guess because I went to Disney so much, like, it never crossed my mind that they weren't real.
I think somebody has told, a bunch of kids
that's
have
like
told
when,
Delilah
like, I was gonna say, yeah.
That's not real.
Well, it's like the whole freaking Santa thing.
Yeah.
Sorry if you believe in Santa and you're listening to
fuck
this.
Fuck you, I believe in Santa.
Oh, I'm so sorry to be the one to tell you.
But the topic came up and JC asked a question. We were talking about Disney stuff and she's like, well, is that the real Aurora? And Delilah was like, of course it's the real Aurora. Who else would it be? And then the topic of Pluto came up. I think my mother-in-law was talking to Delilah, and she goes, the real Pluto. You know, like in Disney World, mm-hmm. the real Pluto. And I'm like, oh my
God.
Did
I ever tell you the story about apparently some jackass, I guess he was in I might get this flipped. He was in one park and a friend was in the other park, meaning I don't know if one was in California and one was in Orlando, or if one was in, like, Magic Kingdom and one was in, like, Epcot. I can't remember the exact information, but it happened. I'm pretty sure one half of it did happen in Orlando, and it was, like, this guy, and he was older. He was, like, a young adult, if not, like, a teenager. Like, he was just being a fucking asshole. Or it was a girl. I can't remember. They went up to a princess of some sort. I can't remember which princess it was, but, like, for the sake of the story, let's say Merida. And he went up to Merida and he was like, here, can you FaceTime my friend? And
the same princess.
Yeah, exactly. They FaceTimed the same princess. I was like, how are you in two places at once? Let me tell you the Disney fucking magic that happened. Because, of course, there are kids around watching this. Because, you know, there are kids standing in line.
Why the fuck?
Let me tell you what those princesses were. And they deserve a damn raise. They mirrored each other. They were like, wow, look at this magic mirror.
Stop.
Dead. I was like, whoever they are deserves 30 raises because that was some, like...
Stop it.
That was some magic Disney shit. Like...
I love that.
Because adults go up to these people now and they try and trick you. Like they'll go up, Rapunzel, why is your hair long now? And, like, try and, like...
Why do people do that?
I'm like, why do you do that? Like,
go to the park and have fun. Why do you have to make everything, like, a thing?
I don't understand. Went to Disney for what? 4 years with before having children, just the two of us. And when we met princesses and characters, we didn't anything. Like, it was Dylan would go up and be like, hey, Rapunzel, where's Flynn? Like, what's going on? Let's look at the. It was never, like, I don't understand why adults would do, like, I don't. Why is Lupin losing his fucking mind?
Somebody see
it. But, like, why would you ruin it for, like, why? Why? What's the point of
you're ruining
it for yourself.
Exactly. Some people just like to be that kind of person.
Like, why? Why are you unhappy?
I'm 100% convinced that some people just like to make others
unhappy. Well, and not even that. You've paid a shit ton of money to be there. So why are you, like, magic or not, Disney's expensive. So why the fuck would you spend all that money to go, let me ruin this for not only myself,
but for others around
like,
me.
When I'm in Disney, I'm in full kid mode.
Those poor princesses, when they got home, they were probably like, today was awful.
They probably, imagine how scared they were that they ruined some kid's life.
Oh, stop it.
But I'm telling you, those girls, fucking.
They deserve.
Everything. Yeah. They should be like, everybody, this is the prime example of what you do.
Well, I bet they also go through training. I'm sure Disney has thought of, like, the most ridiculous scenarios that people would come up to them and
do. I can say with 100% certainty, without saying things, that they get very rigorous, this is the worst case scenario, here's how we can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when they're introducing new princesses or new characters in the park, like when, like, Brave came out and we introduced the first time of Merida, like, they do a lot of training, like, a lot.
What do you mean, like, when...
Like, they get to watch movies ahead of time so they can perfect their mannerisms. Because think about it, sometimes the characters come out before the movies do.
That's true.
And they know, like, they have to know their background, they have to know their families. They go up to them and they're like, here are, like, really common questions. So, like, Rapunzel obviously is going to get the question a lot, why is your hair long now? Or, like, Belle gets the question a lot, why is Beast a beast now instead of a human? Like, those little, like, inconsistencies with stories.
What's the answer to the Beast thing?
Someone said, what I have heard, I'm sure everybody has a different answer, like, because you can probably make up your own answer.
You know what's funny? The girls have never asked why.
You know what's funny? I never did either. The Rapunzel thing did make me question.
The girls asked why her hair.
But that's because I think I was older, mm-hmm. but I never questioned why Beast was a beast.
Yeah,
never.
The girls never questioned why Beast was a beast, but they did question why Rapunzel had
right, and that's why in the TV show, the Rapunzel TV show that's on right now.
That's what Delilah said.
They fixed that situation because I think it did become an issue. But anyway, what they tell you about Beast, apparently, one story that I've heard is that they say Disney is full of so much magic that when Belle and Beast come into the park,
he turns back into a beast,
and when they go back to their castle, he turns into a human again.
Oh.
And I'm like, that makes sense. Like, in my kid brain,
if I was a kid,
totally makes sense. I've been like, cool, great, okay. Because, like, you just don't question those things. You're like, Disney could be like, there's a magic bubble here where pixie dust is here all the time. And I'd be like, yeah, sure, great. Yeah, that makes sense. People do think Disney is in a biosphere. When people, apparently, genuinely, this is so funny. When people come to Disney from like places outside of Florida where they don't know the Florida weather. When it rains, people get really mad. They're like, I didn't think it rained here. And they were like, what do you mean? And they thought they were in like a weather like resistant like biosphere. And they thought the weather was like created. I'm like, why would they make it so hot? Like, honestly, of all the weather, like if Disney had control of it, it'd be perpetually fall. Like, why would it be 130 degrees there and humid as fuck?
People are so fucking stupid.
They're like, why is it raining? Like, turn it off.
I can't.
And I'm like, you all are so fucking... Like, when the alligator thing happened, got so mad. I'm like, they're wild animals. What do you want Disney to do? They can't turn around with gates and be like, alligator, sorry.
Like, I thought that they did have signs up in the...
They do. They apparently were not well seen. But I'm like... But I told... I got really annoyed with the whole alligator thing, and people are probably going to be mad at me, because when I heard the story, I was like, sorry, that family's stupid. Because... I grew up in Florida, so to us, it was like, you didn't even step in a puddle without thinking there was an alligator in there. Like, your pool, your pond that you made in your backyard, everything had the potential of having an alligator in it. And to me, that was just secondhand, like, information.
Yeah.
Like, that was just it. And they were like, people were like, but they were from, like, New York. And I'm like, but it's known. Like, when you think Florida, you think hot, humid alligators.
Yeah. I have to say, we're not from Florida.
But wouldn't you have thought?
But we did, like...
Exactly.
And especially at night.
Why the fuck are you putting your child in a body of water that's not...
I'm
sorry. Dylan's dad is fully convinced that man murdered his child.
No.
Uh-huh. Because he was like... When it first happened, he was like, let me tell you something. If I was standing there and watched one of my children be dragged in by an alligator, I would have never left that water. You would have had to take me out of that water. You would have had to shoot me and take me out of that water. He's like, I would have never left that water. And that man was like, out of the water, like, I don't know what to do. And he was like, that man killed his child. And I was like, shit. And Dylan's dad is not conspiracy theory, like, person at all.
Yeah.
He's very by the books, like, black and white. And he was like, nope, that man killed his child. I was like, shit. So I don't know about that, but it is a fair point.
We could do a podcast on that next
Please.
Time.
I would love it.
We would anger so many people.
And we would piss off everybody.
Should we finally talk about this? Real life pet cemeteries.
Are you saying that because I have my pet cemetery? Yeah. Dylan, my mom, I never even thought about it. My mom said... Why do you have a picture of your dog that is now deceased next to a pet cemetery?
But there's an ice cream cone, a Dole Whip.
Yeah, I do have a Dole Whip in the middle, but that dog is dead.
She's still with you.
Look how cute she is.
She's so cute.
She was such a cute puppy. She also had 6 toes on both her feet. She did. She had 6 toes. She's and she had a bend in her tail.
She's a mutant.
Do you remember her little bend in her tail?
You can't ask me to remember things. You know me.
I mean, she was around for a long time. Bitch was old. Okay, so today we decided, in the same vein as we talked about haunted schools last week, it's back to school, so we're talking now about children.
Well, I also think it's funny, we're mamas.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too.
Podcast is about us being moms, and we haven't recorded any stories about...
What the fuck was that?
I don't know. I've been hearing that this whole time. It sounds like they're playing dodgeball downstairs, like up against the walls.
Would that surprise you if... Our husbands were playing dodgeball in the living room.
It doesn't. But I thought it was, ironic that we've been doing this podcast for a few months now, and ironically, we haven't done children.
Well, it was like that one episode where you were like, let's talk about bad moms, and I was like, how have we never talked about bad moms before? And that was long ago.
Because we're not bad moms, so we think, like, why would I don't know.
I mean, I want to murder my son sometimes, but I haven't. And that's what makes you a good parent, is that you don't murder them. Even though you desperately want to.
Do you want to go first?
I actually have quite a bit of information. Do you have a lot of information too?
I mean, this is all my information.
Oh shit, yeah, we both have a lot. I'm good. I went first last time if you want to go first this time. Holy shit, girl. Jesus Christ. We're already like 30 minutes in. This is going to take another 4 hours.
I'm sorry. I just did my job. So this case, it goes into, of course, details about the murder, but then it also goes into the court and how they handled the case and kind of like how they handled things for years to come.
I was going to say, as a rule, they don't handle when kids do things like this very well, because it's like,
right,
what the fuck do we do? Because at one point, you're like, that child is a monster, but at the same point, you're like, it's a still child. A kid.
Yeah,
like,
and their brain isn't fully developed.
No.
Okay, so my story I did on two children, one named John Venables and the other Robert Thompson.
I did mine's about, mine has two children, too.
Yeah, I feel like.
Mine are two girls, though. Dude.
Oh, okay.
That's funny.
So, on Friday the 12th in February 1993, John and Robert played hooky from school. Stop it.
Turn your phone down.
I'll turn it off. Well, not turn
no,
it off.
No, off. You have to read off of it.
I'll turn it down. I have a new phone, and it's very...
She doesn't know how to use it.
I don't know. I feel like a grandma. Like,
you do.
You've, like...
All day, you've been like, I have to get... Where's my videos? I'm like, this is like my nanny with a phone.
Well, I had my other phone for 2 years, and Jacob's like, let's get upgrades. And I'm like, let's not and say we did. And the other guy's like, well, I can just transfer all your stuff over. And that's a fucking lie. And Jacob's like, you didn't have to let him do it. If I'm going to a place where I am not skilled in anything, and you tell me you know what you're doing, I'm going to trust that you know what you're fucking doing. So excuse me for trusting someone when they tell me they know what they're fucking doing. Anyways.
Probably an iPhone and not some
Samsung. I like my Samsung, my LG phone, thank you. So they played hooky from school, and they apparently did this quite often, so it wasn't out of the
hooky?
Norm. Yes.
Oh.
And they were seen via videotape from the New Strand Shopping Center in Bootle, England.
Who knows?
I'm going to keep it's Bootle. Bot.
Bootle? Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I mean, it's probably
like
not.
Like poodle, but with a B and a T.
It's probably wrong, but...
I'm sure.
I feel like no one ever... Okay, whatever.
No one ever corrects us, which
they can be
I
seen
appreciate.
Stealing various items, including sweets, a troll doll, some batteries, and a can of blue paint, some of which were found later at the crime scene. The murder scene.
Do you remember trolls... Back in the day.
Yeah, they had the little jewel belly button.
Yes!
They used to make wishes on them because they...
Yes!
And they never came true.
Well...
It was very depressing.
Okay, but neither did your candle wishes of your birthday.
I never did a...
You never made a wish when you blew out your candle? I thought everybody did it.
No, I just blew them out.
Oh, I still make wishes on my
candle. I tell the girls
candle.
to like...
I still make wishes on my candles.
My wishes never come true, so...
Mine is literally just like, let me not be sad and have a happy life. Which is just... I'm like, yeah, it's working out for me, I guess.
The same afternoon, James Patrick Bulger accompanied his mother and her friend to the butcher shop inside the same shopping center. He was 2 years old, so Killian.
Oh, thank you for that.
She was distracted only for mere seconds while dealing with the butcher shop owner and buying her goods when she noticed that James had seemed to wander off.
Dude, you cannot stop looking at a two-year-old.
Minutes.
For 4 seconds.
Honestly. Minutes passed.
I went pee the other day and Killian left the house. I told you that... What just happened?
Oh my god, that scared
me. Oh, that scared me. It went black a second time. The computer.
Minutes,
literally.
Minutes pass, hours pass, still no sign of sweet baby boy James.
That's Killian's middle name.
At this time, police aren't thinking that he was abducted, but merely that he had wandered off by himself. Mm-hmm. With no luck at the shopping center, they broaden the search area and start sweeping canals, busy roads, thinking that maybe he had wandered around those areas, fallen into water,
see?
Hit by a car, etc. The hope was that if he was abducted, that he would be found alive. They then went to ask random people, call to the media to see if they had seen him, but 24 hours had already passed. And if you don't know,
I was gonna say,
there's a specific timeline when a child goes missing of, if they're found within this amount of hours, it's a good chance that they'll be found, or if they're found within this many hours, the chances of them being found are like... The chances decrease as the time goes on.
And I think it's like after 24 hours, the chances of them being found alive is like slim to none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Caught on tape shows John and Robert holding the baby's hand, leading him out of the shopping center. And I have chilling notes, little tags
Chilling notes.
The video camera footage from his abduction shows both John and Robert holding the baby boy's hand.
I've seen this. Mm-hmm.
James is in the middle.
Oh, yes.
The little boy is in the middle. They're holding him, and they seem to be being sweet to him, lifting him up as they walk by yellow, like, wet floor caution signs, like, lifting him up over them, like, swinging him.
Oh, my God,
pointing
yes.
at things.
They seem like they're almost, like, parental to them, to him. I remember that.
And that kind of flows into what
I'll
talk about.
The two boys.
I think they were 11. I have it in here, but I think I skipped around.
Oh, okay.
They were 10. Both of them were 10.
Dude.
The police started to look at the boys between the ages of 14 and 18 because it appeared that those were the ages of the two boys who took James' hand. So in this video surveillance footage, they looked older. 2 days after his disappearance, James' body was found by nearby children playing near the railway line. The boys had to have climbed up a tall bridge to get to where the body was found. The nearby police station can be seen from the railroad line. The boys took James on a 2.5-mile walk across Liverpool to the Leeds and Liverpool Canal, where he was dropped on his head and suffered injuries to his face. The boys joked about pushing him into the canal. During the walk across Liverpool, the boys were seen by 38 people.
And they didn't even... Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Two 10-year-olds with a 2-year-old, I wouldn't have thought about it.
Another chilling note. One of the boys later revealed that they were planning to find a child to abduct, lead him to the busy road alongside the shopping center, and push him into the path of oncoming traffic. Police had been on the hunt for these two boys for almost a week when a call came in describing a boy who had blue paint on his shoes, the same blue paint found at the scene of the murder. And in this podcast, like this story, I have details of the murder and exactly his injuries, but I didn't want to put them first. I don't know.
I would give a warning at the, like.
That's, yeah it's.
Just because, like, it's such a. It's a like a trigger warning. It's like, a baby. It's a baby, yeah.
I didn't want to focus so much on the murder this time because it kind of made me sick to my
stomach. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he had the same blue paint on his shoes, the same blue paint found at the scene of the murder. Robert and John were arrested, both only 10 mm-hmm. years old. The police officer described having to get on his knees to be eye level with the child. He mentions that while he was explaining to Robert why he was there, the child seemed to be calm. It wasn't until the officer told him he was being arrested that he started crying, but there were no real visible tears. When I was writing this, these are all my personal notes, and then I took some court related things from Wikipedia, but I watched a documentary on this, and it was very, like...
I can't,
it kind of made me sick.
Well, yeah, you don't think about 10 years old, Jesus, like... Mm-hmm.
The boys were taken to separate police stations to be questioned, which is normal.
That's smart, yeah.
During the second interview, Robert admitted that it was John who grabbed the baby boy, his hand, and from what I understand, they kept leading him places and leaving him. So they would lead him somewhere and then leave him. And then
which probably back. Panicked the shit out of the kid.
And then come back until they made their way to the railroad.
You know what I just thought about when you said that? Think about that for a second.
Do not put my kids in it because I will.
No, I won't. But you put Killian in it.
But I feel like you're, I know. Like me and my paranoia, I feel like you don't have the same paranoia.
I don't. But think about it. Think about a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
They get left, they freak out, and then they see someone that they recognize, even if they've only known that 10-year-old for 5 minutes, they're happy to see them. So he in that moment got like a, oh God, I'm scared. Oh gosh, I'm comforted by this 10-year-old. So they probably, and 2-year-olds, if you are not a parent or don't know a 2-year-old, are the most trusting children in general. But like toddlers do not know. They don't know. Every human being is, like, a parent to them. Killian will literally walk off with anybody.
Yeah.
Like, Killian does not care. Like it's, like, I mean this in the nicest way possible. Like, Jacob doesn't look like someone who would be, like, he's got tattoos, he's got the beard, he's got this, and, like, you wouldn't think he'd be someone that a child would feel comfortable with. Killian loves Jacob.
Killian
would follow Jacob off a bridge. Yeah. Like, he would just go.
Which is but when so you see weird.
Him, but, like, think about it, too. When a 2-year-old is being acknowledged by an older kid, that's, like,
it's everything.
So cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so scary to me.
At this point, both boys claim that they did nothing and it was the other's fault. Which is, I mean, everyone does that.
I was going to say, children do that with everything.
But detectives believe that Robert was the ringleader of the two. John admitted that they killed James, and he said to please tell his mom, I'm sorry. The two boys dragged James through the streets pretending to be his brother. He was crying. Remember, he was seen by at least 38 people.
And no one did anything.
But they told those that questioned him that he had fallen and he was crying, and they were trying to get him home to see their mother.
You know what sucks, though? I would believe that. And that's horrible. Like, I just wouldn't...
No, I would want to go. I would want to
But you're very
them.
Paranoid. Yeah. I'm not. Like, yeah. I wouldn't even think about it.
I would follow them home and make sure that was...
If someone literally said, I'm this child's mother, you would have been like, no, I'm gonna follow you home. Like,
if a child you're just was very... acting very weird.
But think about that, too. Think about when kids do that pitch fit thing. You're not my mom in a store.
I've never heard... a kid. You,
no, oh, I did it to my dad in Disney.
No, I've never.
My mom went to the bathroom and I wanted to follow her. And my dad was like, no, stay out here with me. And I literally started screaming in the middle of Disney. I don't know you. Who is this man? You're not my father. Like, you're not my dad.
Up to you?
No, because kids do that.
I've never kids heard that.
Kids do that.
I've never heard that. I would hope
Killian
that.
Killian told me yesterday, Mama, you're the worst.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm going to kill this kid.
Brace yourself, because there are Dude. Worse things to be said.
You're like, child's play.
The injuries that James had at the time were inflicted by John and Robert. They mm-hmm. hurt him. They beat him up before they killed him. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to get into his injuries from the two kids, for the two boys, and then the injuries that led him to die. So if you don't want to hear this, I would probably skip like the next 2 minutes or so.
Yeah.
James' injuries consisted of blue paint was thrown in his eyes. He was kicked, stomped on, had bricks and rocks thrown at him. Batteries were placed in his mouth, and evidence shows that they could have possibly put them in his anus as well. The boys then dropped a 22-pound iron bar on his head, which caused 10 skull fractures. He had 42 injuries total via the pathologist. The boys made it seem like they were trying to make it look like the train had hit the boy to cover up the gruesome acts they had done. Forensic evidence shows differently.
Oh, my God.
After they smashed his head with the iron bar, the boys lay his body across the tracks and buried his head beneath rubble. A train severed his body in half. Police suspected that there was sexual element to the crime since Bulger's shoes, socks, trousers, and underpants had been removed. The pathologist's report, which had been read out in court, found that Bulger's foreskin had been forcibly retracted as well. At this time, while the trials were going on, it was like pure fucking chaos in England.
Well, yeah.
The amount of outrage for the child on child crime was outstanding. There were 44 seats available in the courtroom for the public to listen in, and people had been standing outside since the night before to be able to get in to
Holy
hear the
shit.
Court hearing. Even though they were only 10 years old, the boys went through a proper judicial trial because
Good.
Of the nature of the crime. From what I understand, they had met that day. The boys had met that day. From
so
what
they didn't
I,
even know each other.
From what I understand, they had met that day.
So they didn't, like, hey, let's get together and do this. It's yep. just, oh my God.
John was on his way to school to pick gerbils. I guess he was voted to be in charge of them.
Those
like, you
gerbils
know,
would have been dead as shit.
Well, you know when you have a class mm-hmm. and each day or each week.
You're a different kid takes
it. A different kid takes care of the yeah. class pet. So, he was voted in charge, I guess. When he bumped into Robert, who said, let's go Robin. Like, you know, let's go.
Like, this rob
is,
something.
Right, and this is in the 90s, so I'm not sure why they're talking like that.
Let's go Robin, see?
yeah. And I said, like, you know, stealing. Not killing. just stealing.
That was a big escalation they
yeah.
took there.
So off they went to the shopping center messing around. They became bored, and it was suggested by Robert that they grab a kid.
Then, where does that even, like...
Then they grab the baby.
See, that's the thing. Those kids would have done that as adults. They would have done it anyway. Because what 10-year-old in his head goes, let's just grab a child?
Well, listen, let me finish my
oh,
story
God.
Because it gets fucking weird.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
The trial lasted for 17 days. They were seen giggling, showing no remorse, etc. Once it was announced that they were guilty, John started crying, while Robert just glanced over at the lead detective of the case who had been dealing with. So he just looked at him. Creepy, right?
Jesus.
Once he realized John was crying, he started to cry. That's in my invisible quotations. but again, no tears were seen. Also to note, because of the age of the two boys, I guess back in that time it was up to the judge whether or not the identities of the convicted uh-huh. were public or not, as well as their backgrounds. The judge decided that because of the gruesome nature of the murder that these two needed to be known.
Good.
This was unheard of.
Yeah.
Seeming as a grand gesture. The decision caused mixed feelings and in the end required both boys to be given new identities years down the road. The boys were told they only had to serve 8 years. James's
18,
mother.
18! They were going to be out when they were 18.
Yep. James's mother was devastated and took the sentencing as a joke. The boys were held in a children's home until they were 17. The children's home is a glorified, like,
a boys and girls club.
They were money. Thousands and thousands of dollars were spent on designer clothes, TVs.
I will
video
say that
games.
Depends on the location because I do know children's homes that are like beyond horrible.
Well, this one, okay. They were treated like...
It's just not like a blanket thing that they're all great.
They were treated as if they had done something... glorious thing.
They should have been put in jail, in prison, like a fucking adult. Like, I'm sorry. I've got no time for that. That's bullshit.
Yeah. Shortly after the trial, and after the judge had recommended a minimum sentence of 8 years, Lord Taylor of Gosforth, the Lord Chief Justice, recommended that the two boys should serve a minimum of 10 years, which would have made them eligible for release in February 2003 at the age of 20.
Still not enough.
The editors of the Sun newspaper handed a petition bearing nearly 280,000 signatures to Home Security... 280? Yeah, just making sure. to Home Secretary Michael Howard in a bid to increase the time spent by both boys in custody.
Absolutely.
This campaign was successful, and in July 1994, Howard announced that the boys would be kept in custody for a minimum of 15 years, meaning that they would not be considered for release until February 2008, by which time they would be 25 years old.
Still not enough, but more acceptable.
The increased minimum term was overturned in 1997 by the House of Lords, who ruled that it was unlawful for the Home Secretary to decide on a minimum sentence for young offenders. The High Court and European Court of Human Rights have since ruled that, though the Parliament may set minimum and maximum terms for individual categories of a crime, it is the responsibility of the trial judge, with the benefit of all the evidence and argument from both prosecution and defense counsel, to determine the minimum term in individual crime cases.
I guess that makes sense, because, like, the judge knows all the information, but still, in this case, I'm like, they should have been in jail for fucking ever.
You're gonna be mad at me.
Did you just lose your place?
I just lost my place. But it's okay. We're gonna get back there. We're gonna get back there. How dare you?
It's like SpongeBob 80 years later.
Stop it. I'm getting there. Almost there.
You've basically given me a glorified fidget spinner when you gave me this pop socket. Like, all I do all day.
I'm glad that you like it.
All I do all day is play with this fucking thing.
You can hear me playing with my pop socket in some of the podcasts.
Well, I'm sure you can hear me playing with this one right now.
After the trial, Robert was held at the Barton Moss Secure Care Center in Manchester. John was detained in Vardy House, a small 8-bedded unit at Red Bank Secure Unit in St. Helens on Merseyside. Yeah, Merseyside. These locations were not publicly known until after the boys' release. Details of the boys' lives were recorded twice daily on running sheets and signed by the member of staff who had written them. The records were stored at the units and copied to officials in Whitehall. The boys were taught to conceal their real names and the crime they had committed, which resulted in their being in the units. Mm-mm. Venable's parents regularly visited their son at Red Bank, just as Robert's mother did every 3 days. At Barton Moss. The boys received education and rehabilitation. Despite initial problems, John was said to have eventually made good progress at Red Bank, resulting in him being kept there for the full 8 years, despite the facility only being a short stay remand unit. Both boys, however, were reported to suffer post-traumatic stress disorder, and John in particular told of experiencing nightmares and flashbacks of the murder.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's exactly what I thought, yeah.
In June 2001, after a 6-month review, the parole board ruled the boys were no longer a threat to public safety and could be released as their minimum tariff had expired in February of that year. The Home Secretary, David Blunkett, approved the decision, and they were released a few weeks later on a lifelong license after serving 8 years. Both men were given new identities and moved to secret locations under a witness protection-style program. This was supported by the fabrication of passports, national insurance numbers, qualification certificates, and medical records.
Mm-mm.
Blunkett added his own conditions to their license and insisted on being sent daily updates of the men's actions. The terms of their release included the following. They were not allowed to contact each other or Bulger's family, so the boys' family. They were prohibited from visiting the Merseyside region. Curfews may be imposed on them, and they must report to probation officers. If they breached the rules or were deemed at risk to the public, they could be returned to prison. An injunction was imposed on the media after the trial, preventing the publication of details about Thompson and Venables. The worldwide injunction was kept in force following their release on parole, so their new identities and locations could not be published. Blunkett stated in 2001, the injunction was granted because there was a real and strong possibility that their lives would be at risk if their identities became known. On the 2nd of March 2010, the Ministry of Justice revealed that John had been returned to prison for an unspecified violation of the terms of his license of release. The Justice Secretary, Jack Straw, stated that Venables had been returned to prison because of extremely serious allegations. And stated
Did he murder another child?
Hold on. And stated that he was unable to give further details of the reasons for John's return to custody because it was not in the public interest to do so. On the 7th of March, Venables was returned to prison accused of child pornography offenses. On the 21st of June 2010, Venables was charged with the possession and distribution of indecent images of children. Mm-mm. It was alleged that he had downloaded 57 indecent images of children over a 12-month period to February 2010 and allowed other people to access the files through a peer-to-peer network. Venables faced two charges under the Protection of Children Act 1978. On the 23rd of July 2010, Venables appeared at a court hearing at the Old Bailey via a video link, visible only to the judge hearing the case. He pleaded guilty to the charges of downloading and distributing child pornography and was given a sentence of 2 years imprisonment.
Stop.
At the court hearing, it emerged that Venables had posed in online chat rooms as a 35-year-old Donnie Smith, a married woman from Liverpool who boasted about abusing her 8-year-old daughter in the hope of obtaining further child pornography. Venables had contacted his probation officer in February 2010, fearing that his new identity had been compromised at his place of work. When the officer arrived at his flat, Venables was attempting to remove or destroy the hard drive off his computer with a knife and a tin opener. The officer's suspicions were aroused and the computer was taken away for examination, leading to the discovery of child pornography.
I don't know what he's doing with this hard drive, but I am suspicious.
So leading to the discovery of the child pornography, which included children as young as 2 being raped by adults and penetrative rape of 7 or 8 year olds.
So the 2-year-old's like the one he murdered.
The judge, great. Mr. Justice Bean, ruled that John's new identity could not be revealed, but the media was allowed to report that he had been living in Cheshire at the time of his arrest. The High Court also heard that Venables had been arrested on suspicion of a fray in September of 2008 following a drunken street fight with another man. Later the same year, he was cautioned for possession of cocaine.
Venables, at least those are like, okay, like it's like normal adult crime. Drugs, like yeah. It's not like, oh, he was still bothering children or right. murdering children. He was doing adult things.
But remember, this is the one that was taking care of gerbils. This isn't shit, Robert. Yeah. This is
so the worst one is getting in trouble for normal shit, quote unquote. And the one that was the better one is getting in trouble for child pornography.
The better child is getting in trouble for all this. The worst one. Venables was eligible for parole in July 2011. On the 27th of June 2011, the parole board decided that Venables would remain in custody and that his parole would not be considered again another year. Shortly before his 2001 release, when age 17, Venables was alleged to have sex with a woman who worked at the Red Bank secure unit where he was held. In April 2011, in the aftermath of his 2010 imprisonment, these allegations were outlined in a Sunday Times Magazine article written by David James Smith, who had been following the Bulger case since the 1993 trial. And again
Good
later,
for you, ma'am.
And again later in a BBC documentary titled John Venables, What Went Wrong? The female staff member was accused of sexual misconduct and suspended. She never returned to work at Red Bank. A spokesman for St. Helens Borough Council decided that the incident had been covered up, saying all allegations were thoroughly investigated by an independent firm on the orders of the Home Office and chaired by Arthur D. Frischling, a retired prison governor. Venables began living independently in March 2002. Sometime thereafter, he began a relationship with a woman who had a 5-year-old child. It is not known whether Venables had already begun downloading child pornography at the time of dating the woman, though he denies ever having met the child. In 2005, when Venables was 23, his probation officer met another girlfriend of his, who was age 17. After a number of young girlfriends, it was presumed that Venables was having a delayed adolescence. After a period of apparently reduced supervision, Venables began excessively drinking, taking drugs, downloading child pornography, as well as visiting Merseyside, a breach of his license. In 2008, a new probation officer noted that he had spent a great deal of leisure time playing video games and on the internet. In September that year, Venables was arrested on suspicion of a fray following a fight outside a nightclub. He claimed he was acting in self-defense, and the charges were later dropped after he agreed to go on an alcohol awareness course. 3 months later, he was found to be in possession of cocaine. He was subjected to a curfew. On two separate occasions, Venables revealed his true identity to a friend. On the 4th of May, 2011, it was reported that Venables would once again be given a new identity following that he was described as a serious security breach, which revealed an identity that he had been using before his imprisonment in 2010. Details of the breach could not be reported for legal reasons. A spokesman for the Ministry of Justice commented, "Such a change of identity is extremely rare and granted only when the police assess that there is a clear and credible evidence of a sustained threat to the offender's life on release into the community. The incident occurred after a man from Exeter posted photographs on a website devoting to identifying pedophiles, allegedly showing Venables as an adult and giving his name."
The real hero of the story. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, that guy is great. I admire him.
On the 3rd of September 2013, it was reported on the 7th of February 2018, Venables pleaded guilty to possession of indecent images of children for a second time.
Jesus Christ.
He pleaded guilty via video link to three charges of making indecent images of children and one of possessing a pedophile manual. He admitted being in possession of 392 Category A, 148 Category B, and 630 Category C child pornography images, and was sentenced to 3 years and 4 months in prison. The parole board will decide whether to release him at the end of his sentence that Venables had been released from prison. On the 5th of January 2008, Venables was charged with unspecified offenses relating to indecent images of children. Public happenings in 2000... Oh, this is just public happenings. In 2007, a computer game based on the TV series of Law & Order...
I love that that show.
Double or Nothing, I guess, was the episode, was withdrawn from stores in the UK following reports that it contained an image of Bulger. The image in question is the CCTV frame of Bulger being led away by his killer, so the mall, the video footage. The scene in the game involves a computer-generated detective pointing out the picture, which is meant to represent a fictional child abduction that the player is then asked to investigate. Bulger's family, along with many others, complained, and the game was subsequently withdrawn by its UK distributor.
I thought you meant it showed a picture of the murderer child.
No. It was
not the murdered child.
No, it was him being led away.
Okay, yeah, that's not cool, Law and Order.
But maybe, I don't know if
they probably nothing. Yeah.
The game's developer, Legacy Interactive, released a statement in which it apologized for the image's inclusion of the game. According to the statement, the image's use was inadvertent and took place without any knowledge of the crime, which occurred in the UK and was minimally publicized in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So this game was publicized.
I don't remember hearing really anything about that. Yeah, I think the only reason why I've seen that footage is I think it was something that was like, it was probably something, one of my, like, true crime shows where it was, like, this is, like, I think if I was not into true crime, I would have never seen, known anything about this.
In 2008, Swedish playwright Nicholas Radstrom used the interview transcripts from interrogations with the murderers and their families to recreate the story. His play, titled Monsters, opened to mixed reviews at the Arcola Theatre in London in May 2009. In August 2009, Australia's Seven Network used real footage of the abduction to promote its crime drama, City Homicide.
My jeez.
The use of the footage was criticized by Bulger's mother and Seven apologized. On the 24th of August 2009, co-hosts on Seven's breakfast show, Sunrise, asked whether the killers were now living in Australia in an apartment tie with that week's episode of City Homicide. They answered the question the next day. On the 25th of August 2009, relaying the Australian government denial that the killers had been settled in the country. And Hollyoaks storyline, set to begin in 2009 in December, was canceled after the show gave Bulger's mother, Denise Fergus, a special screening. The storyline was set to feature Loretta Jones and her friend Chrissy, who had been given new identities before arriving in the village after being convicted of murdering a child at the age of 12. The critical theorist Terry Eagleton introduced his 2010 book on evil with the story of Bulger's murder. That was really long, but I felt like I needed to include all of the judicial bullshit that happened because it was absolutely ridiculous.
So only one of the kids ever, so we have no clue what happened to the other guy?
No clue what happened to the other guy, but the kid with the gerbils.
Did much shit after.
Yes.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'll say, too. What pisses me off the most in that story, aside from a terrible crime happened, what pisses me off is that newspapers and TV shows and this are, we're told not to publicize two people who murdered an innocent child. Granted, they were children too, but they still, 10 years old is well enough, old enough to know what's right and wrong.
Right.
They are not allowed to publicize where they live because it might put them in danger. But I know for damn sure the son, the one you talked about, has published the exact address of plenty of celebrities.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so you're going to publish the address of people who are completely innocent and put them in danger? Because, I mean, we got people like John Lennon and things like that. People, celebrities get shot and killed all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And Selena and all that. So we're going to not publish two murderers who, believe what you want, arguably could deserve to die.
Yeah.
But we can't, but we're allowed to publish innocent actors who have done nothing but give their gift to the world.
Yeah.
That pisses me off to no end. No end.
What a crazy world we live in.
Well, interestingly enough, oh, I'm going to turn this way. My murder also takes place in London. And though the murder is, like, if you were to ask about this murder, people would tell you about one specific girl, because she was definitely in charge. It is a murder take. It is something that took place with two people, but it's two girls.
Okay.
So it's basically the girl version of your story, which I think is funny, because we never talked about our stories.
Right.
So, also, side funny story. I was doing my research on this girl, and it was one of those, I was like, killer kids, and I've heard this story before, like, on one of my television shows, and so, like, the minute we said killer kids, I was like, gotta do her. Like, it was, like, not a question, she was who I was gonna do, like, from the get-go.
Uh-huh.
So, because her story is ridiculous, like, it's crazy. But when I was researching it, I found out, like, all these very small connections between she and I, and she's actually born on my birthday. She's born on the same day, just much earlier. And I was like, Dylan, what if I'm a reincarnation of her?
Oh my gosh.
And Dylan goes, hold on. Dylan goes, is she dead? And I went, no. And he goes, you're so stupid. And I was like, never mind. Okay. So who I'm going to talk about is Mary Flora Bell. Okay. So in May of 1968, in a small town near London, a terrible crime had the community in a complete panic. The body of a 4-year-old boy named Martin Brown was found in an abandoned building. While the death was mysterious, there was no evidence of foul play or violence, so the death was originally ruled an accidental death. They thought maybe it was in a time where kids would kind of just go out and run around, and like they'd be like, be back before.
60s.
Yeah, they're like, be back before the streetlights come on, right, and that kind of thing. So they thought maybe he went in this abandoned building. I mean, something fell down on him, he fell, like, it was just one of those things. So they didn't rush to really examine this body in particular, because it was, like I said, it was one of those, they walked in and they were like, clearly this is an accident, you know, whatever. So, until 3 weeks later, when a body of a 3-year-old boy was found in an abandoned industrial area, so then they were like, wait a minute, that's too much coincidence.
Right.
Let's go back and look at this original situation. So this time it was odd, but this time, computer, Jesus Christ. The computer keeps going dark and I keep having to touch the mouse.
We want to make sure that we don't lose all this footage.
Because that has happened before. But apparently when this 3-year-old's body was found, it was very obvious that it was not a natural death. And trigger warning, I don't go into a lot of detail about what happened to these boys, but I go into the amount of information you need. So if you do not want to hear about hurting children, skip forward about a minute or two. So what happened to this boy was, when they found him, he was mutilated by a pair of scissors. Chunks of his hair were cut. There were scratches on his legs. They had completely mutilated his penis. And the letter M was carved into his stomach. So police began to interview all the children in the area. Like I said, this was a time where,
How was he killed?
I actually don't have that. I wonder if it was just he just succumbed to all of the group of injuries together. Or maybe I go into that later and I don't remember because I wrote this...
A few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago. But like I said before, this was like one of those small towns where like a lot of kids, like the neighborhood kids played together and like they knew who each other was. So they were like, well, let's start interviewing the kids in this area. So they start pulling in all these kids, the random kids, no rhyme or reason. It's not like, no one was like, it's this one particular kid. They just pulled all these kids kind of in for interviews. And when they did, they brought in a girl, the police began an interview and they brought in, out of all the interviews, these two girls kind of like rubbed them the wrong way. So one of the girls was a 13-year-old girl, excuse me, named Norma Joyce Bell, who is not related to Mary Flora Bell. They just happened to have the same last name. And every time they asked her a question about the boys, she would smile and laugh, almost like their jokes or their questions were jokes. So they were like, that's a little weird, but they didn't think she had done anything wrong. But they were like, she knows something. So the police were suspicious, and then they went to interview another little girl who was only 11, named Mary Flora Bell. Excuse me? Oh, I was like, who's opening the door?
How dare you? You have my go-go juice?
I just got iced. Yeah. Not
frappuccino.
No. Okay. No. Wow, you got something different.
I'm at the window. I didn't, like, look at what you sent me. I was just like, okay, whatever. And then I get up there and I'm like, she wants an...
Yes, I need to have my go-go juice.
What did you order?
I just ordered an iced white chocolate mocha.
Oh.
With almond milk.
Oh, okay.
No and dairy.
An extra shot.
Yeah, and an extra, because almond. I'm sitting over here trying to, like...
You know that iced mocha has dairy in it.
Yeah, it has dairy already.
Like, how much?
I mean, probably not a lot.
Not enough to make me shit my brains.
Well, but and you didn't get like cream, exactly. So like that helps.
Not enough to make me shit my brains.
I've told her she needs to go to the doctor. She told me how many things make her poop, and I'm like, that's not normal. Like
instantly.
Like how I mean, she was stressed yesterday. She's like, I have to poop. I'm like, what?
You don't get stress poops. Y'all are fucking not normal.
No, you're not normal.
Raise your hand if you get stress poops. I bet a shit ton of people are raising their hands.
No,
right now. That's a lie. That's a lie and a half.
I think you have like IBS. That's what I told her yesterday.
I think I have IBS because I think stress is an indicator.
She was like, I got sad the other day and had to poop. And I was like, that's not normal. Like, these are not normal reactions.
Hey, but you know what? You know what? At least my body is clear and I'm not holding nothing in.
That's so true. You probably are detoxed to the highest.
Honestly.
With your poops. Dude, I don't know. But you haven't pooped all day today.
Yeah, it's about to go down here soon, I bet.
Use the poopery.
And there's new people in the house. Lord have fucking mercy.
Your poopery.
And your bathroom fan isn't, like, loud enough.
I know.
I'm like
James, why do you keep inviting more people?
I know. I don't want no people. are you ready for me to continue about my penis mutilation of children?
That sounds so awful, but yeah.
Penis?
Yes. It's about kids, so. Oh. But, not gray.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. In my last one...
She was like, they murdered a 2-year-old little boy. So, like, Killian. And I was like, great, thanks. I went to say something. She goes, don't you dare put my children into it. And I was like, oh. But
I'm more sensitive than you.
I know, but still. Okay, where was I? Oh, okay. So, the police were suspicious. And then they went to interview an 11-year-old girl named Mary Bell. And they started to kind of put...
Two and two together.
Mary pointed the finger at another neighborhood boy and claimed that she'd seen the boy playing with scissors in, like, I guess just out and about, which I'm like, okay, seems like
just
an odd.
There in a warehouse playing with scissors.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I saw him playing with them scissors in the front yard. Like, I don't know. The scissor information had not been released, so no one knew about the scissors. So she immediately, like, implicated herself. No one knew about the scissors, and she was like,
okay.
That dude.
That's what she gets.
Fun fact, she was born on my birthday in 1957. Mary Flair, so now I'm going to go into kind of her. So now we've kind of established that she's guilty in some way. Now let me go back to explain her life. So Mary Flora Bell was born near London into a family with a mother who was a 17-year-old prostitute.
Oh.
She was 17 years old, not a 17-year of prostitution, like 80-year-old. Like, she was 17.
She was 17 while this child was 10?
No, she was 17 when she had the baby. Okay. What I'm saying is she wasn't like a 30-year-old woman who had been prostituting for 17 years.
Gotcha.
She was a 17-year-old who was a prostitute.
Gotcha.
Blah, blah, blah. Was absent from the home and had no knowledge of who her biological father was, but it was believed that her father was a man named Billy Bell, who was a habitual criminal. So she wasn't born into, like, the best situation. I mean, not that that's an excuse, but she was not born into the best situation. When Mary was born, her mother, like, you know how, like, you have your baby and they hand you your baby and it's little blankies and it's so cute. Literally, her response was, get that thing away from me. So, not an ideal mother from the get-go.
I mean, why didn't she just give it up for adoption then?
You would think. I don't know. And it's not like it was like the 60s. It's not like a bad... It wasn't like it was like the early 1800s where that was not a thing you did. Like, yeah. Family also like said from that Mary's mother tried to kill her a lot. Like, she would constantly be sick. Or they'd be like, she's sick. I'm going to give her this, like, hell of a lot of cough syrup. And, like, apparently, like, she tried to murder her daughter a couple times.
What the fuck?
They also reported that as early as 2 years old, Mary was already showing signs of, like, detachment and coldness. But it's because her mother clearly hated right. her fucking guts. Mary, quote unquote, fell from a window when she accidentally consumed sleeping pills disguised as candy. So...
Okay.
Sure. Head injury, which is always a good start to any serial killer's life. Mary later said that she was sexually abused and her mother forced her to have sex with men starting at the age of 4.
Stop it.
So, I don't like being like a murderer had a reason to murder, but also...
Did she know any different?
She did not know different. Like, no. Her mother tried killing her. To her, that was nothing. So... Before she was arrested, though, the police had strong suspicions that she was involved. She was observed hanging out around the house of one of the little boys on the day that the boy was buried, laughing and enjoying watching the coffin being lowered into the ground. She also, there was somewhere, and I don't even know if I put it on here, but in some, one of the episodes of something I saw, she, like, went to the mother's house and was like, can he come out to play? And they're like, he's dead. And she goes, whoops, and, like, walks away. She knew he was dead. She did it. So she was just... She was just fucked. Yeah. The officers that witnessed this was horrified and knew something needed to be done immediately before any other children were hurt. Because she had already killed 2 children in her neighborhood. So within a couple weeks of each other. So a third one was... I mean, like, it wouldn't be beyond the realm of belief that she would keep doing it. So he went and re-interviewed Norma, the other girl, because he was like, I can get information from her. She knows something. Mm-hmm. And she told the terrifying tale of what happened to the boys. So Mary had killed the first boy, Martin, and taken his body to the abandoned house. So she did that fully on her own. Then she talked to her friend Norma and was like, you want to see what I did? And brought Norma to the house and told her how she squeezed the life out of him.
So
she strangled him. And how much she enjoyed it. So that was the first boy, though. That was the first boy that they immediately were like, this was an accident. He fell down. Something happened. You know, whatever. So then she went on to murder the second boy later. But when the police went to pick Mary up for questioning, she claimed that Norma was lying, but then eventually admitted to being involved in the murder, but she said Norma wasn't the one that did the murder. She was like, oh, no, I was there. But I didn't do anything. It was Norma. Which is the same thing that happened in yours. Because kids do that. Kids just blame each other because they don't want to get in trouble. The trial began and even more disturbing information was revealed to show just how damaged Mary was. Just days after Martin was killed, a local nursery school, which is basically a daycare, was broken into and vandalized. In all of the mess, there was, like, notes scattered in the, like, debris of the mess. And written in childlike handwriting was, we did murder Martin Brown. And another one said, I murder so I may come back. So that was just, like, littered on the ground.
Fucking creepy, dude.
But I think originally they thought it was just kids being stupid. Kids just, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't know necessarily, like, what's appropriate.
Right.
At the time, these notes were found, and they still believed that Martin's death was an accident, so they were just like, someone's being a douchebag, someone's being gross,
right?
Someone's just being disrespectful. But later, Mary admitted after she finally was like, yeah, it was me. So she later admitted that when she wrote the note, she did it for a giggle, apparently.
I did it for a giggle.
And she even said, I like to murder little things that can't fight back, while she was in jail waiting for conviction. This led court-appointed psychiatrists to describe her saying that she displayed classic symptoms of psychopathy, and she posed a grave risk to other children. So they weren't even like, hey, she did one bad thing, like, sorry. They were like, no, she's a psychopath. She cannot help it. This is just the way she is. And if she is out in the world, she will do it again. She cannot help it.
Yeah.
She was described as very manipulative, but extremely intelligent, which is, like, the worst combo in the world. In December of the same year, Mary was charged with manslaughter of both boys. So they did not play. They were like, manslaughter, right. Done. She was sentenced to be detained for an indefinite sentence.
So life.
But then now things are going to go wrong. Oh, because.
We love a story that goes wrong.
While she was serving her sentence, her mother, because her mother is still batshit as fuck, went ahead and sold stories to local police, to local newspapers for all sorts of money. Because, of course, it was, like, the crime of the century. They were like, she's like, here, $2,000. I'll tell you what's going on with my daughter. And she didn't care. She was like, yeah, I tried to kill her. Here you go. Like, she was like, she did not care. And she would also fake letters. She'd be like, I found this diary entry from Mary. It says I murder people. But she wrote it. She was crazy as shit. So in 1977, Mary escaped the prison she was in. But all they did was take her away her prison privileges for 28 days. They were like, oh, time out, basically. So when Mary was 23, after only serving 12 years, so in the scheme of between my story and yours, she at least served a decent amount of time in that comparison. Did not serve a decent amount of time for life. Like, right. She was released and granted anonymity and started a whole new life. 4 years later, she had a daughter born on the 25th of May, so the day before her own birthday. Her daughter didn't know what her mother did or had done as a child until Mary was discovered by reporters and they had to flee their home. So she grew up being a normal mom.
Oh.
She was a normal mom with a normal life, had a daughter. The daughter was like, knew nothing but that her mother was a great mother. And it wasn't until reporters found her, like in some town they were in, that she realized what her mother had done. Now Mary's daughter has anonymity and protection until she's 18. But before it ran out, Mary was like, no, she's still in danger. Like, I cannot let people know who she is. So Mary won a high court battle to keep both of them anonymous for the rest of their lives. So now any court order permanently protecting a convict's identity is now called the Mary Bell Order. So because of her, actually, I wonder if her order is the reason why your boys, because this happened in the 70s. So the Mary Bell Order, I bet you, is the reason why your boys stayed anonymous. Oh, shit, they're tied in.
Well, they didn't stay anonymous. It was up to the judge whether or not.
But I bet you it was because of this Mary Bell Order.
It could have very well been.
Because they're both in London.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
It could have very well been. But it was for mine, if a child had done something so gruesome, it was up to whoever.
The court.
The judge of the case.
Well, I think this is not necessarily for children. I think it's if we're going to keep them, if we're going to make them anonymous, we're going to keep them anonymous. Mm. So I think it's the judge's decision to make them anonymous, but this order makes them anonymous for the rest of their lives.
Right, the new identity right. thing, yeah.
So, and now she's living. No one knows what's going on with her. She just kind of
had a state of psychosis that...
I don't know.
She was basically born into, because if she became a wonderful mother...
Apparently, according to, like, this... Like, she's even started selling her own stories, though. But she does it anonymously. She's like, hey, I know a story about Mary Bell, but she's Mary Bell.
Well, shit, dude.
So, but she's living
life.
So why
isn't her... Was her mother ever charged?
No.
Why?
I...
What the fuck is wrong with people, dude? Honestly.
I'm telling you. Like, but honestly, as much as, like, she did a completely terrible thing, she had no chance. something was going to be wrong with this girl.
Yeah.
Whether it be that she turned into a complete drug addict and just hurt herself, or she ended up hurting other people. She had no way.
Yeah.
There was no way she was going to live a normal life. Her mother literally tried murdering her many times. Like,
why not? And she got the baby up
literally had sex with men at 4 years old.
That's absolutely ridiculous. Her mother should have been charged.
Her mother
should have been put in fucking prison.
Been like, you didn't do anything to this little boy, but you sure as hell fucked your daughter up. So
that is the story about killer.
You cannot help being born a sociopath. Like, it's an abnormality in your brain. So there is a man currently, he's a doctor, who is, by definition, a sociopath. He has the abnormality in his brain, but he's never done anything wrong. He's never murdered any, he's, like, fought against his like, mental, like, issues. He's fought against it. He's never done anything wrong. But now he's able to verbally tell you, this is what a sociopath feels like. This is what happens. Like, but he hasn't given in to his urges to murder or do anything wrong. And he is like, you have to listen to his interviews. He is like, it's just very interesting to listen to.
Is he creepy intelligent?
No. Oh, yeah. He's super smart. Most of them are.
Yeah.
Most sociopaths or psychopaths are super smart. Like, if you look at serial killers like Ted Bundy and things like that, they're all super smart. And they're all usually super attractive or very charming. Like,
do you remember the guy? What was his name? The clown guy?
John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, he was not either of those things.
But he was super charming. He was the neighborhood babysitter.
Ugh.
Like, kids loved him. Parents loved him. Ed Gein, who is a fucking terrifying person, used to babysit all the kids in the area because he was the sweet old man and everybody loved him. Because he could just talk to people.
Ugh, Karina, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Think about a murderer as charming as Dylan. That is what it is.
Nope. Stop right now.
But you know how Dylan can just tell anybody things and you're like, yeah, sure, Dylan,
we're
sure,
we're never
great.
Coming over ever again. You're never watching my children.
Karina, I'm going to be an asshole to you, but we're going to have sex and get married one day. And that's what happened.
Stop.
Dude, I'm telling you. Dylan's gonna edit this and be like, I'm gonna delete all of this. You're such a bitch.
You're saying that Dylan is a sociopath.
Except for Dylan would barely hurt Dylan anyone. He'll pull my hair when he has sex and be like, oh my god, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
As, like, he's doing it, you're like, oh, are you okay? Did I hurt you?
Yes! So he's like the kindest sociopath.
Are you okay?
Are you dying over there?
You better not be contagious.
I haven't had a fever in like a week.
Or your ass is going to be in
quarantine. We'll put her in the other room and be like, what did you roll?
Put her in a glass box and she can just mime. She can just...
We'll put her in the bathroom. What did you roll? A nat 20. Again? Yes. This dice is great, guys. We need to end this.
Yes, we do need to end this.
It's an hour.
I hate you.
We're 25 minutes.
We're over.
You're talking to me or the podcast?
I'm not doing this anymore. I can't stand you.
Me?
You ruined my life. You said we're over.
Oh. I'll remember that next time when you need me to go to weddings in the fucking 100,000 degree weather.
Don't you dare.
I'll remember that. Get yelled at by men.
You are going to make me feel so awful. That was Karina got yelled at by an asshole last night, basically, for literally no reason whatsoever. No reason whatsoever.
Dylan was like, do you want me to go get you ice cream because you got yelled at? I was like, Jacob got me ice cream. Thank you. I was like, Jacob already got me ice cream.
And I felt so bad. And the guy later apologized.
He did. And I felt fine. I'm like, it's fine. Because...
Literally, because he's a...
Hold on, end this so Dylan's not editing
10:30. So, hold on. Okay, we'll end this. Sorry that follow you don't get to listen to all the gossip.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, what else? Facebook.
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
And email us your stories. Goodbye.
Oh, wow, you didn't even give
me
an
email. Want to tell the story.
Twohexymamas@gmail.com.
Oh, thank you.
Just kidding, it's ample.com.